Now, the Stormont Finance Committee will hold an emergency meeting later this morning to discuss the £7 million NAMA mystery. It comes after the TD Mick Wallace hit the headlines when he claimed in the Doyle that a politician from Northern Ireland was set to benefit financially from the largest ever land deal here. I want to speak to our business editor, Jamie DeLarga. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Do you think the Stormont Finance Committee will get any answers today?
No, I don't think they'll get any dramatic answers, but at least this will set the ball rolling. And I think over the course of the next few weeks and months, they should be able to extract more information than certainly we journalists have been able to do. But I think, you know, with the efforts of the various news organisations, we're learning more and more as the days go by. There's been, I think, very good work by some rival news organisations to UTV, but I'm trying to unearth what's been going on. But one of the things I think that I've been looking at myself, and I suppose I'm happier talking about what I've investigated, which is this question of how did the money get into the Isle of Man? And I've been in contact with people who are sort of close to Brown Rudnick. Brown Rudnick are the legal company, the law firm that was engaged by Cerberus, who in turn engaged Tuans to do work for them. And I understand from conversations that they are insistent that they didn't pay any money into an Isle of Man account, that they paid it into Tuans' Belfast account. And that's important because for a number of reasons, you have to wonder how on earth money got out of that Tuans account into an Isle of Man account controlled by the former managing partner of Tuans, Ian Coulter. You know, what sort of controls were in place to allow him to move money? Then I think there's an assumption that £7 million went to the Isle of Man. We don't know that. We know that £7 million or thereabouts was paid by Brown Rudnick into Tuan's account, but we don't know how much was transferred out into the Isle of Man, and there is an assumption that it is £7 million. I don't know whether that's correct or not. That's the sort of information. Then, of course, the key one, which I suppose, is what was that money, whatever size it was, whatever amount it was, what was that money going to be used for? Was it going to be used to pay people? And if so, for what reason? And then, actually, another one, have those people who expected to get paid, because clearly, if there were people that are sitting waiting their money, have they approached Tuans and said, you know, Coulter didn't pay us, but we are entitled to get money from Tuans for work that's been done. Where's our money? Have those people come forward? So that would be an interesting one, or are they just biding their time?
Yeah, that is a very good question, because if you're expecting money at this moment in time, it's unlikely you're going to come forward.
Well, you see, that's not quite the case, because in these deals, everybody imagines, but many people are speculating that the money that might be paid for improper reasons. But there are plenty of people who would do work for a law firm who are not the lawyers themselves. For instance, if you're doing a property deal, you might have quantity surveyors, you might engage forensic accountants. So that money that would go to the law firm in respect of the deal then would have to be paid out to independent people. And that's a very normal situation.
Of course, but that money doesn't usually get to you via the Isle of Man.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to wonder why you would, if you were going to pay people, and why you would want to transfer money into the Isle of Man to pay various people who've carried out professional services. It's a very good point.
I think it's also worth emphasising too that Mr Wallace, the TD, said in an RTE interview that he wasn't sure who the politician is, and it's very possible there is no politician involved in it.
Well, this is it. That's another point. He is a bit vague in this point. Maybe he can clarify, but it doesn't seem as if he can. Who this mysterious politician is. There may be no politician, but I still think even if there's not, and I think that's what makes it juicy, of course, the idea that a politician is getting money that shouldn't be, that was inappropriately paid. But the fact of the matter is it's still a story if money's been paid to individuals who should not have been receiving it. And then, as I say, coming back to this point, it may seem a sort of a petty point, but how on earth does money get out of a main account or an account held by Tunes? How on earth does that money transfer into an account which is controlled by their managing partner? You know, what sort of governance, corporate governance, have they in place to allow that to happen? And that's why these are huge questions for Tunes, because any legal firm relies on its reputation. And if these sort of things happen, then you have to wonder what sort of reforms are needed within the company to prevent that sort of thing happening in the future, and if it's going to gain the confidence of new clients.
I find it almost beyond belief that in 2014-15, that people would consider that sort of corruption to get themselves involved in it. When you look back at the history, say, of the very recent history of the Republic of Ireland and the corruption and skullduggery that was going on down there, and how eventually the main players were caught out, you would think that they would learn from that.
Yes, well, we have to be very careful here. We can't allege corruption of any kind in this matter at this point, because we don't have the evidence to do that. And I'd be wary of using a term like that in relation to anything that has gone on. There may be, I mean, it's difficult to imagine, but there may be legitimate reasons why money was transferred to the Isle of Man, and why people might be getting paid from it, even if you might call it unorthodox, and I would be happy enough with that term. But we cannot, we at this point, until the Law Society shed some light, until the Finance Committee.
Absolutely, unorthodox in Northern Ireland, but there was corruption in the Republic of Ireland.
Well, there's corruption. There's corruption around the world, yes. But the reality is, as I think at this point, we just need to concentrate. I'm more comfortable, I just want to reiterate that, with the term unorthodox, until we have some facts, until we have some explanations as to why this sort of behaviour took place. And you know, it is difficult to understand why it would be necessary to move money into an offshore account. But we have to hear the explanation of the person who was involved and the people who might have been in receipt of that money once it arrived in the Isle of Man.
Do you think there's an award-winning documentary waiting to be made?
I think once you get beyond... if you do eliminate the notion of politicians being involved, then I think it is less interesting. I think it becomes a less interesting story. I think that's what's gained the attention. That figures in almost in every headline, in the first main paragraph of every story that's done about it, is that reference to an unnamed politician receiving money, because it's hard to imagine why they might have been entitled to any payment like that. But once, if that is eliminated, then I frankly don't. I think it's very interesting to journalists like myself, and frankly, you'd be very interested in discussing why these matters, but I don't think the general public really is that concerned about these matters. I mean, they think that, you know, people get paid too much anyway, and this is just extra money going into pockets. So I maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are fascinated, but I don't think it has it has the makings of a wonderful documentary.
And as I said before, there's always the possibility that no politician is involved whatsoever. It's 28 minutes past 9. Jimmy, thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.